Welcome to the Cult Film Showdown, appearing on station WGOD 1315 on your dial. I am James Cotta. This is the Cult Film Showdown's look at the TV series The Hitchhiker from the mid-1980s on HBO. And I am joined by Nick Boxer.
Yo! Yeah, I was going to do all Johnny Fever thing. I don't have it in me. Not that cool.
Well, maybe Jack Hall can give us some Johnny Fever. Or some Venus. Go again.
What's that?
I just got like a garbled sound.
Ooger, I say.
Ah, there we go.
I only got the garbled sound too. I thought you were doing Chewbacca.
It sounds more like a gargoyle. Yeah. Oh man, Venus Flytrap. Right. Oh, there was a name. That was
Venus Flytrap.
Johnny Fever's good, but Venus Flytrap. That's
that is. That's a great name. All right, let's get to the Shaxxer
Showdown. Hey, we're doing.
I am anxious to talk this one.
All right, so this is our third episode of The Hitchhiker. And thank you to those who have been listening so far on YouTube and on your podcast apps. And I've been enjoying this one so far. So let us get into season 3, episode 4, WGOD, with periods between all those. Nick, you want to tell us what happened in WGOD?
Sure thing. Gary Busey plays a radio DJ preacher. And his ministry is doing a sort of tryout for a big television series. He's one of those televangelists. He's trying to be a televangelist. He's on the verge of a breakout. But all of a sudden, mysterious calls start coming into the station. And he starts acting erratically. And this is Gary Busey. So yeah, but it's early Gary Busey. So you have to take a little bit of grain of salt. And after that, it becomes sort of a telltale heart, and we discover that he may have, or he flat out did, commit some crimes early on that he ends up paying for by the end. And he keeps his mother in the base, in the attic.
I think she just sleeps there. I don't think he keeps her there. I think she likes being there.
I didn't think she was necessary to the story at all.
Well, she really provides the Reverend with some serious mommy issues. His brother's been missing for like 20 years, and she's still like, you know who was awesome? Your brother. He didn't do this crap that you did that bought this gigantic house. He ran away like a good son would.
The entire motivation for why he committed the crime.
Well, I'm just comes saying, from his mother. Need her character. It could have been taken care of in a line of dialogue. Whatever happened to your brother? He used to have the ministry before you. The end. Go on to more blood in the wall shit going on.
He didn't have the ministry before him. He was 16. Something like that. I love this episode. This is like, to me, I know it's the telltale heart and we've seen it a million times, but Gary Busey, we're gonna have to talk about him in more depth later on, I think, but he's fantastic. It's definitely small budget, but it looks like it's got some really cool camera angles, really good cinematography, just really good performances, creepy concept, well executed, shows what can be done with something like this.
It's the most Twilight Zone-y we've seen so far. Because it's more of a moral tale. It's got a nice twist or two near the end. It has more of that Twilight Zone than the others did, because it could use more of the Hitchhiker's narration at the beginning.
Could have.
I do like that that the structure is getting more solid as the series goes too, with the intro and the outro. The Hitchhiker is so condescending, which I just.
In the Hitcher doing the poetic outro, which particular, just rub it in a little bit. Let's like do it. We're going to do this in verse.
So one of the things we see is we see Gary Busey on live radio on this religious channel that I'm assuming he runs. It's a bit vague what else is on this channel.
Seems like when he's not there, there's nothing there, but I'm assuming music.
I'm assuming it's like him and then repeats of him, but you still got a lot of day to fill. But there's like every talk show, there's a screen with like the subject of the next couple of calls so he could pick which call. The ones at the beginning I thought were awesome. So the three things on the screen were child abuser, seduced and abandoned, and fatty.
I didn't notice that. That's fantastic. That's fantastic. I don't mention the director because, I think it was directed really well. And I mean, for us, our chronologically, we're seeing this as season 3. Episode 4, some places listed as episode 6, but Mike Hodges, who wrote and directed the original Get Carter and directed Flash Gordon, is the director of this episode.
Solid director. I like his work.
Oh yeah. I love like some of the stuff he did. Like there's the scene where he's doing the pro-life a bit, making a really ridiculous argument that I could actually see somebody making though. And they're shooting him from below up on the stage. So it's got this crazy camera angle and it somehow gives him this, I don't know, mystique that you could see why it is people are following him. And Gary Busey is just fantastic delivering all this stuff, you know? So like things like that, like just really interesting directing and cinematography, I think really elevated the episode for me.
Well, in that bit there, like he's really making great use of the space because it feels like the like place is packed and that there's like standing room only, but it's really like a small atrium at like a mall. There's not that many people there, like when you actually start counting heads. But yeah, that angle gives it it gives us that heroic gravitas of, you know, larger than life. And it's interesting because like that part also, they don't lead into it and it doesn't have a lead out. Like it's just here's a capsule scene to explain how people relate to him because everything else is him on the radio. But this shows like he is, he is followed kind of larger than that. I love the bit there also when he says that if Jesus were around today, he'd be on the radio.
That was great. There's a lot of great lines in this. It's written by Richard Rothstein, who also wrote Universal Soldier. He has one of the best lines early on when he says something like, I can't remember exactly what it was, but he's talking about this guy from this television station that's following him around and doing a story on him. And this guy's pretty arrogant. And he says that if he shits, he thinks it comes out in saran wrap. And I thought that was just a tremendous line.
That's a good line. And the TV guy is played by Robert Ito, who character actor, long, long career, retired in 2008. But IMDb's got 145 credits for him. and most famous probably for Quincy. He was the assistant on Quincy's run. Robert Ito, who's a Canadian actor of Japanese descent. There's some Canada spotting for this episode. I was worried because there's no one in this that was involved with Littlest Hobo. So I was concerned there wasn't going to be any, but that's a nice crossover there.
Yeah, I tried some Canada spotting too. I thought his radio board might have been the SCTV board they use in the intro. But I looked it up and they are comparatively different, unfortunately.
I think this is one of my favorite, since we've been doing these shorts and not reviewing movies going into the Octagon, this is one of my favorite like things we've looked at. I just think really like Gary Busey, like he's complicated, you know. You think about him, he's become obviously a caricature of himself. This is him in the early 80s. And, you know, I mean, just a few years after he gave the amazing performance as Buddy Holly, which he had an Academy Award nomination for. And, like, I don't know what's real with Gary Busey and what's fake. Even back then, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Is Gary Busey a good guy? Is Gary Busey a crazy guy? Is he, like, I don't know. Even back then, it was difficult to tell. And as the years have worn on, he's become kind of this, I mean, we look at him with both love and pity and like a mixture of things at the same time.
Well,
it's easy to forget, though.
He did sustain some sort of head injury at some point.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, on a motorbike. But it's just easy to forget what a wonderful actor he really is, given the right, you know, circumstances and surroundings.
See, I was a little disappointed just because I heard Gary Busey doing a televangelist preacher. And I imagined how big he could have gone with it. And he didn't go that big with it. He did an appropriate amount. And just because I know his work, I kind of expected this huge thing, and it wasn't. I think it was probably better that he didn't, but...
Yeah, I mean, the radio preacher is in a strange spot at this point because it hasn't hasn't really gone to TV for this guy. And like it's still got kind of the DNA of the traveling like tent revival stuff. Like it feels more like that era of his preaching, like very fire brimstone, but very like very salesy. It's a few more years before we have things like Jim and Tammy Faye were a few years after this, I believe. So then you get into like, there's a lot of money laying around here that, that no one's keeping a great eye on as to what happens to it. And they hinted that in this, that like, that's why the journalist is watching, is that he's saying like, there's a lot of cash coming in.
This is a guy who's already making good money, clearly taking in good money from his listeners, but who is just about to go to the next level. Like it's local and it looks like it's about to go national. That's what I took from all of it. And definitely nobody was keeping a close eye on the money. And that's the story. The money is the story that the television station, which he hoped was going to be good doing a fluff piece on him, is instead trying to do kind of a hit job piece on him. And he's looking at it and thinking to himself, you know, like this guy now is becoming trouble, but the television station is thinking to themselves, yes, follow the money, follow the money, follow the money, as a good news reporter will. Not knowing that the real story is his past, and the kind of crimes he committed, which we don't want to go into too much, but if you've seen The Telltale Heart or read the story, or you kind of get what it is. I mean, it does become, there does become the supernatural element to this,
mm-hmm.
of his crimes coming back to haunt him, both through mysterious calls on the radio and some events that start to happen. But I just think everything was executed just right. So, I mean, everything in the story for me worked in that way as well. I was into it from minute one to the end.
I was thinking with those phone calls, because there's not a lot of, they're actually pretty vague. Like, there's not a lot of detail in the first few calls.
And which he's, I think, like, kept them creepy. I think, James, that kept them creepy.
Well, he's like really, like, he's immediately thrown way off. Like, this is like a tick. This is unexploded landmine for him. But I was thinking, like, by the second call, I'm like, this guy would be so easy to gaslight. if you can get him this off for, like, with two brief phone calls.
Well, but there was mysterious things happening during the phone calls too, like, mm-hmm. the sound, the feedback coming in, or his microphone kind of exploding in electricity, you know, things like that. I think that extra threw him off.
Mm-hmm.
Although once your microphone starts to bleed, I think all bets are off.
I think I would find that suspicious if that happened right now. I mean, I don't have one of my good shirts on, so if it happened, it happened. there is a terrific racist line that he has when he realizes that Robert Ito, the reporter, is not here to do a puff piece. He's not here to be his pal. The Reverend tells him to go back to New York or Washington or Buddha Land.
Nowhere near the most racist line that I've ever heard from Gary Busey in a film. I mean, not even in the top 10.
What is
DC Cab had alone at least 5 or 6 that you couldn't know.
If you could make me a list of Gary Busey racist movies, that would be great.
Just watch DC Cab. That'll be enough for you. There's several.
That's probably got his average worked out already. Yeah.
I mean, this is, in this day and age, if anybody was paying attention, he would be canceled for what he says casually in everyday conversation. Not as like a bad character, as one of the good guys, one of the heroes of the movie, casually referring to other people. Yeah. crazy, which is it, in fact, it's delivered so well, you go, oh, Gary Busey himself said talks like that too. He must.
I haven't seen him in anything for a really long time. He may be canceled.
I think he's one of those guys, it might be impossible to cancel him. Like, he's just reached that point where I mean, it's harder. It's harder and harder to cancel someone for racism now anyway. But I think he is one of those. Like, I mean, his revenue stream seems to be, at least he put out a book a couple of years ago of his Buseyisms. You can get a bunch of stuff on his website. But he's kind of one of the poster celebrities for Cameo. He was like the first one I heard, like, that's why I heard of Cameo, is because he was on it. And he seems to do tons of those, so that's probably his acting credits for a couple of years now, if you want to go look him back.
Probably does really well on there. What happened to his kid? What happened to Jake Busey?
Jake, he's still around. Like, he never got his big shot, but it seems to me he was doing like a cop show on TV or something.
Yeah,
like,
I was thinking it was Hawaii 5-0 or something like that, but that may be Scott Conn or both of them. I don't know.
it is sometimes hard. It's sometimes hard to tell.
Well, it can't be easy to try and make your mark when your dad is insane Gary Busey, you know, yeah. to try and overcome that.
Yeah, it's yeah, and there's a lot of people that, I mean, like the Nepo baby thing only works to a point. You still have to be good. You can have a career as Jake Busey, but you're not going to make that next step unless you actually have talent. And he's a fun actor.
The thing about him is, Jake Busey, it seems to me that Jake Busey always was best playing a character who's crazy, and his dad was always crazy. So, like, it's kind of, it all bleeds together.
When, and a lot, yeah, I always thought he was good. It was like a slime ball, which is what Gary Busey was when he was like younger. That was his best characters, like Predator 2 being the one I remember the most from that time.
Yeah. So anyways, I'd like to go back just to backtrack a little bit and say, don't watch DC Cab. Anybody listening to this, because you will be very offended, most likely. Even though I said watch it if you're curious about his racism. But don't watch it.
That's it's
right, one anything of those... else to say about the episode? What about the toys? Nick, what kind of toys did we get out of this episode?
No toys.
What?
Surprisingly, the pulsating wall really didn't get too many action figures made out of it.
I
would love a Gary Busey action figure.
I get two little bits of trivia here. The station is 1315 on the dial, which would be 1 and then 315, which is the passage from the Bible that is John 3:15 is the one that gets held up at the sports games. So particular choice there with the frequency. And I almost had to pause the show because I was like so distracted by the fact that he has a projection TV at his house. that might be the most 80s thing that you could get. They were like $1,500 like in 1985. and they're like a projector now. You couldn't use them in a bright room. Just washes out. But I love that was showing off how rich he was.
That is so true. That is very 80s.
Look at how much he's got. All right. Well, that is WGOD. Yeah, I really like this one. I think everyone got a lot out of this one. And we're off and running. So we're continuing to do The Hitchhiker. We're going to do 10 episodes from the series, roughly chronological order, but we bumped them around a bit because I also want to keep the one of us chose each one cycle going. So this one was chosen by this was Nick.
Nick, okay. Good job.
And next up for us is going to be, we're rolling back to season 2, episode 3. With
face
or depending on which list you look at, IMDb has a radically different one than other sites. So Face to Face, which features Robert Vaughn, Sonia Smits, and Sybil Danning. So that was chosen by me because Sybil Danning. All right, you can follow the Cult Film Showdown on Instagram, and please subscribe to our YouTube channel, like all our videos, comment, tell us what
or
you're
don't
thinking.
Like them, that's fine too.
I like when they like them. Yeah, I mean, favoriting's better. share is good as well.
Or comment, say something bad. Yeah, it's all like, good.
Yeah, I mean, the algorithm doesn't care if you have a positive or negative comment. They both help, so you know, go for it. We should do some viewer mail coming up.
I love that idea.
Yeah, we should
do. I love that.
Maybe we'll do a standalone with that. We are sponsored by WeTalkPodcast.com, the home of the Octagon that Jack mentioned earlier, our search for the ultimate B-movie. And We Talk Podcasts has a Facebook, and they have a Twitter. And you can also support us on Patreon. We'll see about some special content for that. Maybe we'll watch just booby scenes from this show, talk about them. All right.
I'm into that.
I knew you'd be supportive of that part. All right, we'll talk to you next time. Let me just get a swig of this flat Coke and whiskey left over from last night. Hair of the dog. Whiskey forward when it's flat.